This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Monday. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're located right at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. Come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can watch the show at the same time. And I know Mike and I, we haven't even been like looking at each other in the room right now.
It's how we work best.
I know.
The lights out.
We like don't talk to each other until we're on the air. But so.
Well, what I want to ask you before we get into any of that.
Yes.
Is now that's the Apple iPhone 6 Plus, right?
It is.
Because I'm on the fence about either getting the 6 or the 6 Plus.
The only difference is the size.
It is. Yeah. I mean, there's a few more. I think the resolution on the screen is higher. It is.
Because really?
I did the side-by-side at the at the Verizon store. I mean, the major part of it is that it's $100 more as well. So the price is more. The resolution is better. Aside from that, I didn't see a huge difference. It looks like it's a little bit more of a handful because it is larger.
I love it.
Yeah, that's
love
what people that have them love them.
And
you get used to
pocket.
The size, right?
It fits
does?
In my pocket. Yeah, try it. Try it out.
Pass it over here.
There you go.
Pass it over here. All right, somebody fits in my back pocket.
It does.
Oh, it does.
Sticks
You're
out
right.
a little.
Why
but...
is it vibrating? No, just kidding.
Shut
All right, so yeah, I don't know. But see, you have a very sleek cover, protection cover for it.
I don't have a cover.
Well, isn't that because you got a mirror on the back of it?
Well, that's my selfie mirror.
Oh. So they're so slippery, I'm afraid I'm going to drop it. So, see, I've got the world's clunkiest, ugliest cover on this cell phone, and I'm going to do the same thing so that I can't lose it. I don't care what it looks like. Quite honestly, I just don't want to drop it. And that's slippery. The phones are slippery.
It is a little slippery.
And it is bigger, so it's a little bigger. I hope you haven't dropped it too many times.
I haven't. I did a couple times, but
yeah.
I caught it. I saved it.
Well, anyway, so were you busy snapping selfies all weekend while you were visiting Ogunquit, Maine?
I know. Do you believe we went up there?
Yeah.
It was so funny. You know, Daryl's cousin lives there, so... you know, we were going to go to the beach, to Hampton, and then, you know, he talked to his cousin, and, you know, one thing led to one and the other. And then as we're going, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's right, Mike and Barbara up here.
That's right.
So, yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, it's good to go before the tourist season starts.
Yeah, and it was busy.
It was busy.
It was like Saturday night. We were at that front porch.
Mm-hmm.
There was so many people in there, you couldn't even move.
Is that right?
And it was fun. Everybody was singing around the piano. And
now, where's the front porch? That's up
right
up,
in the
up
main
near
town.
Rouen, right up near the...
right in the main town of Ogunquit.
Yeah.
You know, those four corners,
funny
four corners right there.
Yeah, I had to try to maneuver through that because the restaurant we went to was a couple miles away from there. And just maneuvering through the do not turn this way signs and the people not paying attention crossing the streets and the intersections all funky. It was difficult.
Well, do you think maybe those, you know, glasses of wine they kept bringing you maybe had a little
God,
to do with that, Mike?
They kept bringing me wine.
Well, that's terrible.
I know. It's a terrible problem to have.
It is.
Yeah. So it was, we ate at a place called the Velveteen Habit, which is kind of a funky name and kind of an interesting restaurant, and the food was terrific, and it was outstanding. It really was.
Nice.
The guy that started it is from Massachusetts and was familiar with our show, and I don't even remember why it was brought up or how it got brought up, which had probably something to do with the wine. So anyway, trying to work a date for him to come in.
Fine.
I'm surprised, like, only 45 minutes to an hour at the most from downtown Manchester, and this is about 2 miles outside of downtown Ogunquit.
Nice. And he knew about the show.
That's
pretty cool.
Well, yeah, unless he was just yanking my chain, you know, which was pretty easy to do.
Mike did send me a picture of him gnawing on a T-bone steak.
In my hand, right?
Almost was going to post it.
That would have been okay.
It would have?
Yeah.
Darn it. Okay.
Yeah, it's already been posted.
It'll be posted then for sure. Just got to look up Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on Facebook. It'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll do it at the next break. Promise.
Well, I mean, it was a porterhouse dinner for two, and you got some nice potatoes and a creamed kale and everything else, and it was and all the wine you could drink, And so they said it's perfectly okay because they pre-slice it for you, which a lot of places do for a steak like that. It's 2 inches thick. I mean, it was just, you know, too much to try to – you'd make a mess at the table. The lighting was low and the whole deal. So it's already sliced in perfect slabs to put on your plate.
Nice.
And somebody said to me, you know, it's okay if you want to pick up the bone and chew on it. In fact, if you do, we give you more wine.
So Mike did that.
Took him up on it.
I'll tell you, it is a classic picture. It's awesome.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's a side of me you don't see that often. It was me at my carnivorous best. But it was a good time. And I could tell that you had a good time as well.
We did. We had a great time.
Did you make it all the way down into Perkins Cove where all the little shops are?
Yeah.
Did you?
We did. Walked the marginal way and it was beautiful. Very nice.
Marginal way is nice, but it's overrated. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's so narrow and there are so many people, and it wasn't a really busy weekend.
True.
Compared to how it will be in just a few weeks.
It's true.
It's nice. If you want to do a walk like that, do the Cliff Walk in Newport, Rhode Island. That one goes for 4 or 5 miles, and it's not quite as, because, you know, people are all spread out.
It's true.
Marginal Way is maybe a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to look at the homes on the border.
Oh, my gosh. They're beautiful. Yeah, very nice.
I saw one that you and Daryl should buy.
The stone one?
Yeah.
Didn't you see that one? Isn't that beautiful?
I meant to look it up to see how much they wanted for it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think Daryl and Carol will be buying that anytime soon.
Did you, did you have any interesting food? I mean, I know you stopped at the donut place that you love so much.
Rocco's in the other room.
Well, it's been online already. So.
Did you see that stinking picture that Daryl posted?
I did.
Do you believe
that? Was he
that
in the doghouse for that?
I will tell you, I was laughing so hard that no, he wasn't. But I'm like, really? You know, he grabs my phone and the next thing I can hear it beeping, beep, beep. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, seriously, you posted that picture? Oh, my God.
Is that the one where you had, it looked
Your
like a milk mustache?
Was so funny. Oh,
well, we can,
I was
you can
laughing.
Always save that for when
we will.
You know
save
who's
it
in
for,
here. Yeah.
Or who's he in the other room.
Right. Now, you said that the people were singing, was it karaoke at the particular place?
You know, they were all like old song, classic songs that, you know, we kind of grew up with. And it was, everybody was just standing around the piano. The place was standing room only and just singing away. It was really fun.
And that was close to where you were staying, right?
Yes. Yes.
See, the
We walked. We were right there.
We parked
at the Colonial.
We were just a few blocks from Perkins Cove, so we were down closer to that end of all the action.
Yep.
But if you come into Perkins Cove or Algonquin, you know, get ready to pay through the nose for parking, especially on the weekend. The innkeeper where we stayed is right next to a parking lot, and they said one day he saw – it started at $5, and within hours, it was up to $20 to park because they have little, you know, slabs that they can change the price on. Yeah. So stay at a hotel or a bed and breakfast, park your car, and then just walk the whole time. It's not that big of a place.
Yeah, no. And the shops were really cute, so I did a little bit of shopping, and it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I had a really good time.
I did my share of sitting on benches while Barb was in shopping. Now, does Daryl, sometimes I go in with her, but sometimes I like to just sit outside while she's in there shopping so she doesn't feel pressured.
Right. Oh, that's nice of you.
How's Daryl with that?
He likes it.
Does he?
Yeah, he's
Give him time.
With me.
Give him time. That'll change. I'll make that prediction right now.
Okay. All right.
Did you go into the shop that had all the Christmas decorations?
No. I didn't see. You know, I meant to say, last week I stopped at Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
And do you know, all their summer stuff, I mean, it's barely summer.
Yeah. It's not even summer.
It isn't officially summer. You're right. Yeah. All their summer stuff is already marked down to like 50% off. It's all moved to the right-hand side, and they already have Halloween and Christmas in there.
Really?
Do you believe that?
No.
That is just, I think that's crazy.
Let's call it what it is. It's wrong.
It is wrong. I couldn't believe it when I went. I was like, are you kidding me? Christmas? I mean, it's June.
Yeah, well, this was a shop dedicated to just Christmas stuff, which I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
When we walked in, it was right next to the Orweed restaurant. It's very well kept for all the stuff they have in there. I was asking the guy who owns it, I said, how do you keep this place clean? He said, I'm obsessive compulsive. So he sprays Windex on his sprays Windex on like on a paintbrush or something, and then he'll like do the dusting, and that'll like pick up some of the dust so he doesn't have to move everything around.
Really?
But I mean, there are thousands of things, and you're in this spot about twice the size of the studio with thousands of knickknacks. And of course, we had to buy a dog ornament. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Fun.
So that was our weekend, Carol and Mike separately. in the same place.
I know. We kept texting back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then we after we left the front porch, we went to the other one. It was called The Corner.
Okay.
And that was fun. We actually sat with a group of people. Mm-hmm. They invited us to sit with them. So we sat with them. You should see the pictures we took with these people. It was so funny. We had a great time. Fun.
Well, are we going to be able to confess what all the things you put into yourself over the weekend?
I have no problem confessing.
All right. See, that's the beautiful thing about you. You're an open book.
I know. I have no choice. Rocco's laughing. I think he's laughing.
Hey, there's one other thing I did try this weekend. Okay. I'm not a tea guy. I don't know about you.
I'm not really either.
I mean, and I know tea's healthy for you, I've just never gotten into it. I mean, once in a while, but I do like chai tea.
I like chai tea too.
So
I think we've had this conversation.
We have, but here's the new wrinkle in it. I had this over the weekend.
Chocolate chai?
Yes,
really?
Chocolate chai tea.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's black tea, and it's a little extra chocolate profile in there. I didn't taste it that much. It still tasted like chai. I said, so even if it's not good, as long as it tastes like chai. So I'll try it again sometime. But, you know, I know that you like chai.
Yeah.
So you might keep your eyes open for chocolate chai.
Interesting.
It's made by Bigelow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, should we go on break?
Let the confession begin here on the other side of the commercial break.
All right. We'll do that.
I can't wait.
You're listening to Food for Thought live
Donuts.
At the Beacon Building. And Rocco, Healthy Monday is up next. Rocco Boulay, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Everybody, welcome back to Food for Thought, Monday through Friday from the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester, 814 Elm Street. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin hosting, and the show is brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And our official decorator, yes, every radio show should have one, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. Only took me 4 decades in the business before I got to work someplace that had its own dressing room, green room, etc. So those are a couple of your sponsors when you do business with them. Let them know you heard it on Food for Thought on The Pulse, WTPL.
There you go. And it is Healthy Monday, and I'm back to Healthy Monday. Let's welcome on Rocco Boulay of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, IntegrityFit.com. Oh my gosh,
here I am. Okay.
Here you are.
Can you hear me now?
Got you now.
Test 1, 2. You got me, Mike?
That'd be a great idea for a commercial campaign. Can you hear me now?
Good.
What do you think?
Sure. Let's try that.
So welcome, Rocco.
Oh, thank you, Carol. I heard you cheated on me this week. My feelings are hurt really badly.
Just came right out with it, didn't he?
You know, why is it that every time I get in a relationship, somebody's always cheating and it's not me?
Take a look at
that. Oh, my goodness.
There's a picture of Carol. And describe the picture, if you would, Rocco.
It looks like she's putting something with some kind of confectionery sugar into her mouth. Mm-hmm. Is that a donut?
Congdon's Donuts in Wells, Maine. Yes, but I will tell you, you have to read the comments, though. The comments are hilarious, especially his. Just scroll through and read some of the comments, and I'm going to talk to you about this.
Okay.
Because, you know, I went to Wells, and I did cheat throughout the weekend, but it was most definitely controlled cheating.
Controlled cheating. Wow. I mean you guys will think of anything. Huh?
Okay. I was in control. Now, you see me with that donut right there, right?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
I was looking forward to that donut from the ride up on Saturday until Sunday morning, like the whole entire time. So when I got to the line, I was like, I got to have one because I'm here. I almost didn't want it. So we got the donuts, we went and sat down, and literally, you see that bite? That's pretty much all I took.
Well,
I might have taken 2 bites.
I'm guilty of doing that myself, especially if there's something that's kind of sugary and tasty. But you know that, you know, the word donut is actually just a prefix.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Donut, make you healthy. I made that up. So clever, huh?
Did you see that I took your name in vain, though, on one of the...
I know. You got to read his comment. We were laughing.
We worked you into it there.
Okay, let's take a look at this here. It says, Helen says, you look like you're drugged on donuts. Someone just gave you a laugh out loud. Another little, looks like a little dog screaming, ha, ha, ha. And Lori says, it is a crack donut? Is it a crack donut?
Welcome to Facebook Radio.
This is a very flattering photo of you. Just saying.
Daryl did that.
From Ruthie. How many times have you been to the donut place? LMAO. What does that A stand for?
Well, we can't say that on the air.
Actually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Laugh my you-know-what off.
And then, of course, we have a silly girl. But, Mike, I don't see your comment on here.
Huh.
It's on there.
It's on there somewhere. Yeah.
Wait, no, you got to see it. Here, give me the phone. I'll find it.
Hold on. Okay.
Well, I could probably recreate it if you can't find it.
What the heck is
it? I don't know. It's your phone.
That was the one that you commented on. Oh,
yeah.
No. You know what? It was the other one, I think.
Another one. Well, anyway, essentially what I wrote was...
Wait. It's right here.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
It was the other picture.
Yeah. Go ahead and read it out loud here. We're all waiting with bated breath.
From Mike Morin, says, Paige and Carol Lawrence, Rocco Bulla in line two, Rocco line two. That give anybody a heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So funny.
I don't know why people think I'm the food police. I'm not judgmental.
It's our own guilty consciences that make us think those ways.
I'm just here to influence you to make the right choices most of the time, not all of the time.
Exactly. And that is what I did this weekend. And really, I had a couple bites of that, and that was really all I needed.
And that took care of it for you?
It did. It did. I mean, it didn't even, I can honestly kind of say, it didn't really even taste that great. And then, all right, then we did eat breakfast there. So we sat down, ordered breakfast, and I'm cheating, okay? I'm eating. I got lobster Benedict, and I love sausage gravy, which is the worst thing that you can get, right?
What's not to love about it?
So I ordered a side of sausage gravy, and I only get it when it's homemade. Like, you know, when people make homemade sausage gravy, it's usually really good. Now that I could have eaten, you know, the whole thing. I took one bite of it, and it was terrible. It didn't have any taste to it.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. I mean, literally one bite. My lobster Benedict, I didn't even eat a quarter of it. It was like too heavy. It was just, it wasn't good.
When you start getting on a healthy mode of operation in your body, things that aren't healthy don't taste good to you anymore. It's just like when you're unhealthy, you crave unhealthy foods. When you're healthy, healthy foods taste better to you. And it's a transition time. But as you're going through that, you'll see that, you know, because you only had a bite or two of the donuts, that Jesus isn't what I remembered.
Nope.
That's what happens. It happens to me all
physical
the time.
Physical or mental?
I think both.
Yeah.
You know, because you've withdrawn from the sugar addiction, so your body's not craving carbohydrate like it was before, or simple carbohydrate, I should say. And your body is looking for good, healthy nutrients, and it craves those things because she's exercising every day. She's staying active, and the body's saying, okay, I'm adapting. I want to repair myself. So therefore, it craves the things it needs to repair itself.
I think that's a good sign, though.
It's called the principle of adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a scientific principle. So
I never even really thought about it that way. But, you know, really, it really didn't taste good, which I was amazed at. I mean, it just was all right, you know. Even see, I keep on telling you, even Saturday night, we went out and we were at the front porch. We went downstairs away from the crowd and I got a small plate of nachos. I literally had like a couple of them and I was like, meh, it just didn't.
Hmm.
So it does. It works.
I think for me too, when, you know, and I'd go out and order some nachos, and as I'm sitting there thinking about how much work I have to do to expend this energy off, I go, oh, well, I think I only want to do, you know, 15 minutes on the treadmill versus an hour.
Right.
And I'll cut myself back. But I've always have a habit when I eat, especially out, I always have a habit of leaving one third of the food that's on my plate to take away. And I say I'm going to eat it later on, and then I end up throwing it away, which was I think it's a good habit for me.
Yeah.
Because I think they overserve in most restaurants.
Yeah, they do.
There's way more than what you need. So I usually eat about two thirds of it.
I guess I better not tell them about the 2-pound, the 2-inch thick porterhouse steak. Oh, you're going to pull out that picture?
Yeah, but that's great protein, though.
Well, it is. Now, there was also some starch with that, and then some creamed kale.
And that's another habit I have, is if I have a meal like that, I eat all the protein first.
Oh, to make sure that you don't crave more of the...
Yes, in other words, if I'm getting full, I'd rather...
Starch, the carbs.
Yes, exactly.
This is the best picture.
You'll post that, I'm sure, Carol.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
I look like Fred Flintstone with that big slab of ribs on the
Brontosaurus burger.
The Brontosaurus burger,
so
yeah.
So great.
Well, I did split that huge steak with Barbara. Just keep the record clear, Your Honor.
But like he said, it is protein, so
right.
You know, that's good.
But then, of course, you have these huge bed and breakfast breakfasts that they give you. You know, these look like about 4 egg omelets. You know, filled with all kinds of good stuff. I didn't leave one third behind. I want to get my money's worth.
So, yeah, were you going to say something, Carol?
No.
Oh.
No.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to get back on track and get back into the educational mode of...
I love it.
...of what this, the whole purpose of this show. I don't know. I think you've liked a couple of the latest articles I've posted on Facebook.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. They're so interesting.
That article, it's actually a 4-part series, and I just finished publishing the third part of a 4-part series, was... is, you know, what you should know about fitness prescription as a health club owner. But I think this also applies to people. In other words, if you're going out and say you're living in another state and you don't come to Integrity, which is anybody's choice, if they're going to choose a fitness professional, there's certain things that a person needs to know that will help them choose the right practitioner for them. In other words, there's some certain principles in exercise physiology that you don't really have to know how to apply them, but you have to be able to ask the questions to your potential practitioner to make sure that they can explain to you what they are. And if they can't, then you should go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I made that very, very salient in this particular, these articles, because health club owners typically aren't fitness professionals. They're actually business people. They're in the sales business. And then once a person becomes a member of a club, they rely on their coaches and trainers to deliver the service to their members. And if that service is less than adequate, then eventually they lose that member. And then we've got a high turnover rate in this industry because people aren't either getting what they came for or they're getting disenfranchised because the direction they're given isn't the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first ones that I talk about in the article is called the principle of individuality. Now, what do you think that means?
Well, everybody is different.
Yes.
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different. So when a person embarks on a health and fitness program and or even a nutrition program, their particular exercise and or caloric needs are very specific to that individual. So, for example, you know, somebody who's how tall are you, 5'4", 5'5"?
I'm 5'2".
Oh, 5'5", well, whatever, 5'2", close enough, right? You're 5'2". So somebody 5'2" has
a quarter.
And a quarter. So that would be 5.2.25, right?
Correct.
Okay. She wants to get down to the nitty-gritty here. So somebody that's that height would have different requirements than right. somebody, say, who's you know, is tall
like
as Mike
seven
is.
5'7 or 5'8.
Exactly. So we have to be able to quantitatively measure what that person needs. So we don't just guess at it. And I see in the industry that a lot of people are just guessing. You know, one of the things that you're probably learning this time around is it's not the scale that you're stepping on that matters, but the scale that you put your food on to measure it that
exactly.
really does. See, people are always so concerned, like, oh, the scale hasn't moved. Well, the scale that they stand on isn't the relevant one. That's the one that they have in their kitchen, where if it says you should have 3 ounces of chicken, then you should not just say, well, I'll just eyeball that, right?
Yeah.
Just like Mike's steak. That wasn't a 3-ounce steak. It probably was 12 to 15 ounces, wouldn't you say?
Well, it was 2 inches, and it was designed to feed 2 people. So,
there you go.
It was probably a pound and a half to 2 pounds,
yeah.
But half of that was bone. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say it was probably 32 ounces.
It was probably 12.
But calorically, it's
12
probably,
ounces per person.
You know, way too much. Energy in versus what you're going to use.
Yeah.
It's going to take you a while to actually get that out
I'm
of your
still
system.
Still working on it.
Yes.
<You'll> be, <I'll laughs> 2 days later.
I'll talk to you on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So the principle of individuality really just states that a person has to be able to be assessed according to who they are. Experience level, somebody who's a neophyte to exercise is not going to get the same exercise prescription as a professional athlete. And everywhere in between those two parameters there, you'd see that somebody falls along that line from, you know, the most extreme athlete to the most deconditioned person, somewhere along that line, you have to find out where that person's starting place is. And that is what's called the principle of individuality. So if you're going to hire a coach, trainer, nutritionist, they have to take that into
consideration
for before beginning that program. So, and that's one thing I think people should make a note of. And you could also search these principles online through probably Human Kinetics or other, you know, fitness websites that are out there that are credible. You know, these different principles: principle of individuality, principle of overload, principle of progression, principle of specificity, principle of diminishing return. Those are the five that are main, most important, that people should at least understand that they exist, and then be able to ask the questions. And somebody who knows what they're doing should be able to give you that answer right away. If they go, "Oh, let me think about that,"
right,
run away, because they hadn't done their homework. Second principle is the principle of overload. Now, what that really means is that if you're accustomed to going in the gym every day and grabbing a 20-pound barbell and doing 10 repetitions, at some point your body adapts to that 20-pound barbell at 10 repetitions, and it will not change at all. It'll stay exact. It'll keep you that strong. You won't get any weaker, but you won't get any stronger. What that principle states is that in order for your body to readapt, a new and greater stimulus must be applied to that movement in order for continued progress to happen. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you do the same thing, you get the same result.
Of course.
Which, you know, Einstein termed as, you know, insanity, right?
Theory of insanity.
People who do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, they're insane.
Now, in talking about that, because I'm beginning now my week 15 tomorrow, and, you know, my it's hard. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do them.
Oh,
it's
hard. I know. That's why it's challenging you. But it's getting you out of what you wouldn't necessarily do to challenge you to say, okay, I'm stepping it up now. And as you do that, that's where that real adaptation takes place, because now you're going outside what your capacity was to begin with by quite a distance.
I mean, even the leg press, oh my gosh, you know, which normally that's, to me, that's a little bit an easier one. And I was doing it. I got 225 pounds on that thing.
Did you do them?
I did.
Well, talk to me when you don't. Because you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Most people, when they get their program, look at week 8 and they go, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do that. And then it gets to me, I can't believe that I did that. Because that overload principle is applying itself to exactly what that is. And that's why it's so important that when somebody designs a program for you, that there's a systematic approach to quantitatively applying the overload each time you go in and work out, so that the challenge becomes a little bit, you're spoon feeding that person a little bit more, and the body says, okay, adapt. Like, okay, adapt. You know, which brings me to the principle of progression. Now, the principle of progression just means that there has to be a certain time frame in which that overload has to take place.
Okay.
That's why when you ended your first program that you actually it got lighter again. Do you remember that?
I do.
That's because getting fit is not linear. You don't just get bigger and stronger and stronger and leaner on a linear. Yeah. What happens is your body actually gets to a point where it starts to burn out a little bit, and you need to recover and revamp yourself for the next training cycle.
We need to go on a break.
Yeah.
We need to go on a break.
Let's do that.
Let's go on a break. It is Healthy Monday. We are in studio with Rocco Boulay of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check them out on the web at integrityfit.com. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
At 12:49, brought to you by Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street in Manchester. And also presented by Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue. They're almost neighbors over there on 2nd Street, the west side of Manchester.
Kevin and Carlo.
Yeah, they get along just fine.
I don't know that, but... I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Who couldn't get along with Kevin or Carlo?
Yeah, really. Anyways, I put my money on Kevin.
Oh, you mean in a good old butt-kicking contest?
Yeah, you get it.
Well, anyway, you were going through the various steps evaluating a potential trainer.
Coach. Or you know, understanding for yourself when you're embarking on a program that these elements have to be part of a productive plan. So we went over the principle of individuality, which means that, you know, you have to start at wherever your starting point is based upon you. We talked about the overload principle, which means that your program must challenge you a little bit each time in order for your muscles to change. We talked about the principle of progression, which just really means that each time it has to be a progression over a certain amount of weeks. Usually 2 months or 8 weeks is a relatively safe bet. I've seen people go to 10 to 12 weeks, but they may be pushing it neurologically in some cases. And then the next principle is the principle of specificity, or also known as what's called the SED principle, which means specific adaptation to implied demand, real big fancy words. But really what it means in simple terms is that if you want to get good at something, whether say I'm training a basketball player and he wants to get better at doing the slam dunk, which means he has to increase his vertical leap, you would have to look at the muscles that are being used in that particular vertical jump in your training program so that whatever it is that you're doing mimics that actual motion. In other words, if you're laying on a leg press, right, which are still leg muscles, and you're pushing a sled, say, you know, in a horizontal motion or an angular motion, does that mean you're jumping off the floor and going straight up? The answer is no. Will there be some transference? Very little, because it doesn't mimic the actions of the vertical leap. So when you take a look at the squat, for example, the squat is what the person does prior to the jump. So anybody who is training for vertical leap would probably be doing probably some type of a squatting exercise, whether it be a jump squat or a back squat or a combination of any of those things, along with just actual jumping, getting and jumping in place straight up, because you have to do the thing specific to whatever your goal is. In most cases, people who are looking to increase lean body mass, like in your case, trying to increase your metabolism, probably the reason why you're so hot today, temperature-wise. I'm not going to go in the other direction, but temperature-wise.
I think it was a hot flash.
we'll just say that it wasn't for today, okay? But just say when you increase the amount of muscle mass that you have, it increases your metabolism, which means that you're going to create more heat. Does that make sense?
So
more muscle means more metabolism equals more heat. But getting back to the specificity thing, if you're going to get stronger biceps or triceps or quadriceps or hamstrings or whatever the muscles that you're working on, those muscles have to be worked in a progression over time. So if you get into a routine where there's a trainer that's taking you and all your workout seems to be different all the time, again, no. The workout should be similar, doing similar motions over time. It should only be changed up every 6 to 8 weeks. If it's changed up every week or every 2 weeks, then you're never going to make any progress at anything because you don't get good at anything. And that is the principle of specificity. In other words, do what you need to do over some time, progressively with overload. And lastly, the thing that's important is the principle of diminishing returns, which means that as you become more and more fit, your gains become less and less and less. Well, good things don't last forever. You see? And that's the reason why people get the genetic potential. And then, for example, when back in my day, in my heydays, when I was the world champion bench presser, right? It took me literally a year and a half to go from a 490-pound bench press to 501 because I was at the end of my genetic potential. I couldn't, there was no more room to genetically get any better than that. Most people who train too long, too hard, actually go into what's called burnout or what's called a plateau. They think they're at genetic potential, but because they thought that getting fit was linear and it never stopped to regroup and retrain their muscles, they stay at that point and they can't get past it because they think that's the end of the road for them genetically, but it's really not. It's burnout. And it's always confused with the principle of diminishing return.
So how do you combat that or still have effective workouts once you get to that plateau?
Well, people like that, I actually bring a rubber mallet into the gym and I whack them off the head and I say, don't do that. You know, because, you know, when, you, when your program got easier the last time, people who actually train that way go, oh, my God, I can't. It's going too light. I'm going to get weaker. I said, no, no, it's your body needs that time to recover. And that's the reason for, you know, the principle of diminishing returns, to recognize that point and to just start all over again and go for a higher
peak. Injury prevention, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a factor
for,
in there.
So many things. You know, so it seems like we're running out of time, doesn't it? Huh?
We've hit our plateau of discussion.
We hit our plateau. You know, Mike, you got to stop talking during these shows. They don't give me enough time.
Well, we were passing around pictures at the beginning. We wasted too much time doing that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Well, we'll catch up again next week, guys, right? And hopefully have some more interesting things to talk about. So,
always interesting.
For all you people out there in Radio Land, remember, between your thoughts and your actions lies your ability to choose. Why not choose to think healthy?
Or to cheat.